Hey, welcome, Carm Capriato, Remarkable Results Radio, and episode 486. Now, I'm once again with Dan Taylor on our third episode on the power of emotional intelligence, or most commonly called EQ. This is a big topic. Now, I recall being a student in an EQ class for 1 week, and it changed me. You know, EQ is the key to both personal and professional success.
I was working with a shop, and they said, you know what? Our day goes according to how Charlie, the lead technician, goes. And I said, tell me more about that. And they said, well, you know, if he's having a good day, we're all going to have a good day.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriato, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. The Apex 2019 is in the record books, and I must say that Apex lived up to presenting leading-edge technology from suppliers, but also a great job of showcasing the emerging technology of tomorrow. Hey, you have plenty of time to plan for 2020 and be part of Repair Shop Headquarters. Now, plan on November 3rd through the 5th, 2020. Apex, now more than ever. Hey, there isn't a day that goes by that we don't learn about some new technology. You know, each day there are new solutions to old problems. Hey, the aftermarket evolves and the marketing trends shift. And this podcast will continue to deliver forward-thinking ideas from the industry's essential players. Now, if you've got a thirst for knowledge, be part of our ecosystem. Jump on board at remarkableresults.biz/social and also find over a dozen free subscription apps there too. Do you know someone who's struggling to grow a great automotive service business? Well, please put them in touch with this podcast. You know, our topics are so diverse and all-encompassing, and everything aftermarket is what we do right here. Hey, welcome to the third part of our Emotional Intelligence series with Dan Taylor, who is Senior Business Advisor with Transformers Institute and has nearly 35 years of executive management, consulting, and coaching experience. Dan brings four pillars to our discussion today. These pillars are the ones that solidify and support company culture. They are personal behavior, empathy, accountability, and training. Now, find Dan's bio, the key talking points, links to the previous EQ episodes, and more at remarkableresults.biz/E486. I am so glad to bring you episodes that make you think and evaluate. Now, if you've got any type of leadership role, these EQ episodes are for you. See part two in episode 474 and also part one of the EQ series in episode 461. Now, get your EQ on. Hey, warm welcome to Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor at Transformers Institute. Welcome back, Dan.
Thanks, Carm. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, you're on again because emotional intelligence is what we've been talking about. This is our third part now, and emotional intelligence is huge. And I want to encourage our listener to invest in episode 461, which was part one of EQ. And then we moved into part two of EQ in episode 474. And here we are with part three. I think you've been able to convince our audience the importance and the value of emotional intelligence in their life based on in their behavior and being self-aware. And if anyone goes back, I mean, I've shared a little bit of the stuff that I've done with EQ and the lessons that I've learned. So glad you're here and so glad you're bringing this series, actually, if you will, this little episodic series on EQ to the aftermarket.
Thank you, Carm. Appreciate it. No, got a lot of feedback from folks out in the in our smaller circles we work in, as well as some folks outside our circles that just have expressed interest in all this and told us how much they appreciate us bringing this to the forefront.
And I heard the same, by the way. I heard the same. So let's kind of culminate in part three, how we can take all of these lessons, and I'd love you to do a quick review, but how we can bring them inside the shop.
Excellent. To go back and talk about the first one we talked about was obviously how we individually are impacted with this. And the five areas that we talked about were self-awareness, being aware of your own feelings, your own emotions, how they're triggered, things in that arena, self-development. How do you continue to grow through these things, lean into them? We talked a lot about that in the first session, leaning into these things and understanding them and getting your head and your heart around certain things, relationships. And that obviously is in the category of communication, teamwork, conflict resolution, those kind of things. We talked about self-responsibility, owning things that are yours. And I believe you used the term when I goofed. When I goof up, it's okay. We all make mistakes. That's how we learn. And then finally, the reflection and reflection of what happened, how our emotions were involved in that, and how we can get ahead of ourselves the next time a similar scenario might present itself.
This is too much touchy-feely. I don't like this stuff. I'm not going to keep listening because I don't like this touchy-feely stuff.
Well, I wish I could get around that, but the science and everything else proves that we are emotional beings. Everything runs through an emotional filter first. Then we rationalize things, Carm.
And so I know, and I'm thinking about all the resistance to anyone who starts to listen to any of these episodes, right? And they say, "Oh, this is I don't want to get in touch with anything that is deep inside." And again, I want to go back, and I know you can confirm this. It works at work, and it works big time at home and the family.
It sure does. Yes, it works in both places. Obviously, at work, we have to, and it's not just ourselves, but we've got to be cognizant of what's going on with those around us, what things might be happening in their lives, what motives they have, what events have just currently happened that might have triggered something that, frankly, gets them a little out of balance, and how we can address that, come back, empathize with them. We talked a lot about that in our leadership episode, where as leaders, we're really responsible for guiding others around us, helping them journey through life, so to say, or at least certainly in the work environment, what's going on there. And then on the home front, being married, and a lot of us are, when we take a deep look at ourselves, I think our spouses a lot of times will certainly tell us where our failures are in those arenas where we don't stop and listen. And listening certainly one of the bigger categories of this EQ stuff, but also how we relate to our spouses, as well as our kids and those around us, our siblings, our neighbors, those that we might interact with in other social environments. This stuff all culminates in this thing called emotional intelligence.
And I want to stop you for a minute and say that we're not talking specifically to the males in our audience. We're just not. In the lesson or the class that I was at, the week-long EQ class, I think there were only three of us guys there and the ladies. And then subsequently, I got to know a lot of these ladies, and I still know one of them today that I talk to often, and that it helped them so well too. So let's not just think because we're a kind of a male dominated industry that this doesn't apply, and or, hey, drag your wife into this episode. Let her listen to it with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did an EQ class workshop last week with a great organization that has multiple shops, and half the participants were gals, and I just love the interaction between them. They have several female managers, which was interesting and obviously unique in our industry. And you're right, we're male dominated, but at the same time, you know, just look at our clientele base. We know that at least half, if not more than half, of our clientele base are of the female gender, and we need to be aware of what they're thinking and feeling. I just a quick, this will be a rabbit trail, but it'll make all sense in the world. I was at a shop 2 weeks ago, and I just observed the interaction between the service advisor and a gal that came in. It was her second visit, unfortunately, within a couple days, because something happened after she left. And all she wanted to do was understand and have her feelings heard of her concerns. And unfortunately, the service advisor kept escalating the conversation. He kept coming over the top to the point where we're into this thing about a minute. I'm watching it. And he had already stopped her cold in her tracks three or four times with statements of their credibility. But she didn't get an opportunity. She didn't really care. All she wanted to do is be heard. And it ended up where the guy was pretty much yelling over her. She shut down and watched her body language, and she started playing with her hair again, thinking, and I could just tell she's trying to reassess how she can come back and still get the information she wants, get her feelings felt, heard, and come to some kind of resolution. I mean, she was up to first visit was, I think, a $600 or $700 repair. And then the second one was the equal amount. So this person had $1,300, $1,400 invested. And unfortunately, by the end of the 3 to 4 minute conversation, I'm convinced she left very frustrated, not heard. He did not understand her motives. He did not understand her feelings. She didn't feel like she was heard at all. And I'm pretty convinced she's not going to go back to that shop again.
What a great learning moment, though, for the service advisor. I mean, you were there. You saw this.
Yeah, I saw it go down in front of me. In fact, one of the owners came in, and I signaled to him to come over and just listen. I put my hand up by my ear and asked him to please listen to this conversation. So he sat and listened with me. And then obviously it was a coachable moment for him. He pulled the service advisor aside. He had heard the second half of that meeting, and I explained our interaction with the client. And then I explained to him what happened in the first half. And then I think it was interesting because at the end of this, basically the service advisor said, I'm totally burned out, right? Back to the EQ thing. I'm totally burned out. I'm tired of listening to people. I'm tired of getting beat up. They were going to work on it together as a team to figure out some ways to decompress him, get him in a better spot where he could obviously serve their clientele a lot better moving forward. But he also learned. I mean, he was very receptive to understanding that he did not allow that person to convey their thoughts, their feelings, to be heard. He just kept coming over the top. And now we know it was he was frustrated. He was already put in a bad spot, not understanding some of the things. And they'll use it as a teaching tool that they can use as an organization moving forward.
Is he a keeper?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's a great young man. I've seen him interact previously, and I think with some fine-tuning of his vocabulary and just his mirroring of people when they come in, listening to, you know, back to that listening thing, the communication, and allowing that lady to express herself fully would have made all the difference in the world.
Hey, Carm here. You know, Apex 19 is in the record books and brought the best and brightest together to create an experience like no other. Now, the big announcement for Apex 2020 is a dedicated section for the service professional. Yay! Apex will present Repair Shop HQ in its own section in 2020. So, if you earn your living in the aftermarket, Apex is for you. Sure, SEMA's fun, but you'll learn more and see more that relates to your sales growth, profits, productivity, and technology at Apex. And training? Apex will present some of the best aftermarket technician trainers as well as management trainers. Now, regarding emerging tech, Apex will feature again in 2020 the latest trends that will have an impact on the service repair professional. And equipment? Wow, see, feel, and touch the latest tools and equipment that will bring efficiencies to your business. Mark your calendar right now for Apex 20, November 3rd through the 5th in Las Vegas. Listen here to learn all about Apex and when you can start registering. Imagine connecting great service advisor selling skills, techniques, listening to the EQ side, and then it come out. It sounds to me like it would be a huge double-edged sword of success for anyone. In fact, it doesn't matter. Leadership, ownership, any kind of management needs EQ. But then if you hook that level of leadership training or specific job training and you bookend that, it seems like the right medicine to fix issues that exist, we know, all over the place.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you look, Carm, I know you and I talked about a couple talking points for today's dialogue. One of them was a cultural impact when it comes to empathy. When you think about empathy, and we talked about this, at least if not in the first, but certainly in the second one, about being able to put yourself in another person's shoes. Well, that goes cross departmental, right? So you've got, obviously, we know in our industry, it's the front and the back, but it also goes across the counter, like we just talked about, with the client that comes in. If we can empathize with them and our culture's one of empathy, then that's going to make us much more prosperous. Customer service experience is much better. And internal customers, we forget, and I usually bring this up when I'm working with clients that we work with, and it's certainly one of our philosophies. Your employees are your internal clients, your internal customers. And we want to be able to get them in the best spot for performance, for longevity, for retention. And those things all usually center around empathy, right? It's going to attract people. People want to be around people that can at least occasionally put themselves in the other person's shoes, understand where they're coming from. a couple examples that can be used with that is if the service advisor knows that a part's not coming in or it's delayed, or a client calls in and says, hey, you know what? I was planning on getting the car today. I don't need it today. But if the service advisor can communicate with the technician what the current status is of a couple of those things, allows the technician to be efficient with their time, right? We always want to make sure that we are serving the other person on the other side. And it goes conversely as well with the technician. Technician runs into trouble. He or she has more anticipated problems with a diagnosis, or a bolt breaks, or something else comes about, something else snaps. Being able to tell the service advisor that the vehicle is not going to be finished is really critical, because the trust from the service advisor to the client is so important. And if they can at least communicate what's going on, that helps all the parties involved. And that's where that empathy really, the rubber hits the road with the empathy stuff.
So, Dan, there's less silos between departments because we're using EQ to learn to get to work together.
Right. There's more collaboration with different personality types, communication styles. And you're right. It breaks down the silos and allows the front and the back to work together. And those are the examples that I just gave you between the service advisor updating the technician, and the technician also letting the service advisor know what's going on.
And that's why there's so much value in these EQ series that we're doing. I mean, you know, as like you said, as we talked about earlier, it's so touchy-feely. But man, it works.
Works big time. And another area that comes up is personal behavior, right? When we think about cultural EQ, or how the emotional intelligence of the entire culture works, we can really there's a huge fingerprint where we're talking about personal behavior, and you're charged with your own actions, your own behavior, your own way of dealing with things, whether they be negative or positive that are happening in the shop. You're responsible for those things. So, you know, in a normal experience, there's a variety of different emotions that are day to day. When you can navigate those emotions and the conflict that might arise, you're going to have a lot more efficiency. You're going to remain cool headed when things get tough. And you're going to have less negative impact. And that's the key, less negative impact on your fellow employees.
Got a story that you can assimilate to this issue?
Yeah. I was working with a shop, and they said, you know what? Our day goes according to how, I'll just make up a name, Charlie, the lead technician, goes. And I said, tell me more about that. And they said, well, you know, if he's having a good day, we're all going to have a good day. And I said, well, so what have you guys done? You've allowed basically the tail to wag the dog here when it comes to one person's, what they bring to the table or what they bring to your community every day dictates what kind of day everybody's going to have. What are you guys, and the challenge was, what are you guys going to do with this? Are you going to continue to allow Charlie to dictate the mood of the building, the energy of the building because of the way he feels or the way he reacts to something?
What you just said is resonating with thousands and thousands and thousands of shop owners out there. And if not the shop owner, the service advisor, the tech who's listening to this saying, well, he's describing our place.
Right. And it all goes back to the personal behavior, right? So if everybody on the team has a higher level of awareness in this arena and can get their heads around it, and maybe even tell it, you know, a great example would be that, let's say you're having a bad day, and we all have them. We all have these funky days. We all have days that we have the blues, and we have to be okay with that because they are going to come no matter what we do. We can't always be, you know, everything positive and super excited. We're just going to have those moments where emotions creep in and they say, you know what, I feel kind of blue today. But be able to express that, get control of it, have your peers lift you up that day and say, you know what, I'm having a bad day. I just need your help today.
But the whole shop isn't having a bad day. One person is having a bad day, and that person doesn't have that bad day every day. It's that occasional. We all have them. And so it goes back to a continuing theme that we talk about here on the podcast all the time, and that is, you know, we always hire for aptitude and fire for attitude. And how many times have we heard the story of, you know, the entire shop's looking to the leader for leadership in actually getting rid of that individual who's really dragging down the shop? And what happens when, and I hear the stories over and over again, and it's happened to me personally, and all of a sudden the entire organization just rushes to a high when they see that, if you will, that quote unquote bad attitude, sometimes we say, you know, it's a cancer inside the business, gets taken out.
Right. And we see that example all the time in professional sports, where a certain player on the team is so disruptive, even though their contributions to the team and the ability to win games at some point does not outweigh the issues they're causing with the team.
Yeah, we as sports fans look at that and said, how the hell could they have done that and traded this guy and just put him on waivers? And you're right, it's a team dynamic that they're looking to build.
Right. It's that team culture, right? It's the emotional intelligence of the entire team and what they've decided they're going to do. Which brings me to another great point about accountability, right? We talk about that would be another strong fiber within a cultural EQ, which would be accountability. I own it. I made a mistake. We made the wrong choice. The higher the EQ of the culture, the more likely they're to take responsibility and ownership for their actions. And they're a whole lot less likely to blame others and see themselves as victims in the circumstances or situation that is caused by other people. So they're owning it themselves. And I've got some great examples of that. I know I was working with a shop that they adopted a new POS, which obviously that's a big thing right now in the marketplace, is how can people move to more intuitive, easier to use POSs? Well, they went with one of the cutting edge ones, but frankly, with a multi-shop, this organization was not able to take care of them. But the accountability and ownership within that culture of almost 40 employees, they realized, you know what? They just owned it and said, hey, you know what? We made a mistake. We thought we did our due diligence on this. We really researched this organization when we brought in this point of sales system. And at the end of the day, it just cannot deliver what we needed to. There's too many burps in it. They just haven't worked out all the bugs yet. And what was cool is that entire organization said, oh, okay, we get it. You made a great choice to go with this, and it made all the sense in the world logically, but at the end of the day, they couldn't deliver on it. So they reset, and they rolled it right back out. I mean, how many shops, multi-shops, could do this? They roll out a POS, and a month and a half later, they pull the trigger on and say, this isn't going to work. In the second full month in, they switch to another one, and it's gone fantastic. But it really resonates in the sense that this organization all believes in themselves. They took ownership of making the mistake. Everybody understood how it happened, and they just moved forward. And now they've been on the new system for probably 6 weeks. Just minuscule issues with the new system, and it's really, really worked well.
That's a gutsy move, huh?
1-2 punch, right? Most people are scared to do the first one, let alone you do one, you make a mistake, and then you do it again. And this is with 40 employees.
Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers Institute. Thanks for being here. We're talking EQ. It's our part three. And, you know, we're talking about accountability. And I have a books page on my website, and a great book to read, Extreme Ownership, How U.S. Navy SEALs Lead and Win. It's from Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. I really recommend you read it. I have. And also, since we have been doing our EQ series, I put up some EQ books on the books page on the website from Daniel Goleman, Emotional Intelligence. He's kind of the, if you will, the godfather. And Emotional Intelligence, EQ, a couple of books. I've got, of course, yes, I have StrengthsFinders 2.0 and that EQ stuff. So it's all up on the books page if anyone would like to get that, because as you all know, and we talk about this a lot, leaders are readers.
Yeah, Carm, I ran across another book that I recently picked up and have been reading, and it absolutely marries, again, this topic of emotional intelligence as well as culture and how the different generational cultural values need to be addressed and looked at. So it's Employee Engagement for Millennials, Boomers, and Everyone Else. And the authors are Maddie Grant and Jamie Nodder. And I'll send you a link to that as well.
Thank you. I'll get that up on my books page too, so that it's easy to access. Dan, we talk training all the time, and we can't help but do a podcast. We can't help but talk about training. and training for the CEO and training for the service advisor and training for the techs and training for the shop manager and all kinds of it, not only technical, specific, how to be a better salesperson, but how to be a better leader. So training, 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 training. Tie the whole EQ thing into training for me.
Yeah, when we look at training, you know, that's the willingness to continue learning. And I think that's a big key to learning. Accept constructive feedback and learn from your mistakes. I mean, how often does that happen? Every day we need feedback, constructive and positive affirmations as well. But we also need to know what change is going to happen and it's okay to change. So that whole training thing is, you know, how are we going to move into the future?
I love that. It's okay to change. Man, I used to say that all the time about 10 years ago. It says, listen, man, it's okay. You can change. I used to say that to people. And there's so many people that seem to be encrusted in a piece of concrete and they're unmovable.
Yeah, we've all met folks like that, right? Whether you call it comfort zones or concrete zones.
Or stubborn.
They're just stuck. Absolutely. And one of the things that happens, people with lower emotional intelligence are typically less willing to be vulnerable, which means they're harder to receive feedback. They push back on training. They're extremely adverse to it. And they're also not willing to make mistakes and grow. And how do we grow and how does change going to happen? It's going to require mistakes and issues that come up. So like you said, we've got to escape that concrete silo we set up for ourselves.
I think it starts with a strong culture that includes being a perpetual student, always willing to learn. And if you could mask that, we've got to learn about this, got to learn about this, and underneath the covers, change starts happening, you may be able to move people and, you know, crack that case, if you will, and move them. And then when you see you're a leader and you see people start to have those V8 aha moments, then you can pull them in and says, hey, what are you learning? This is great. I'm proud of you. And I like what I see. I see transformation, and these things are important. What an opportunity.
Yeah, they're important to our well-being, right? I mean, I think for our psychological well-being, our peace of mind, it's important to have change in front of us, be applauded for it, patted on the back. And as a culture, if you can, I've seen several teams, organizations that will have that as part of their cultural values, that we're lifelong learners. And obviously in this industry, with the landscaping changing as fast as it changes, we've got to adopt that. And I'll give you a quick example. I was working with, I know one shop on the West Coast that they have absolutely embraced this change of hybrids coming out and electric cars. And everyone in the shop is on a monthly or bi-monthly type a training session for these electric cars and the hybrids. And they even have the dealership sending them cars because they can't figure it out. Versus I've been in shops, and you're aware of these as well, that you know what, we're not going to go there because it's only 3-5% of the marketplace right now. And so they've already made up their mind. They're not going to go there and they're not going to stretch themselves.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing. I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, you know, and I'm rolling my eyes. And the people that have became early adopters, they own the hybrid market. And there's other people on the fringes saying, oh, let them have it. What a mistake.
Right. And it's part of that culture, right? The culture says we want to be on the cutting edge. And not that you have to be the first to market in everything, but certainly be looking out over the horizon. Where can we be leaders? And we look at it just even on the customer service side right now. People want convenience, right? They value their time unbelievably. So how can we be trailblazers when it comes to training our folks on new ways of convenience? Whether it's it's text messaging, it's calling them, it's whatever we have to do to take care of our clientele base. That's another example of it.
You're right. Ear to the ground. What's the trend? Don't buck it, if you will. Join it. Get that training. Listen to the podcast. I mean, we've got 600 plus episodes that we've covered just about any type of trending topic. And what a great chance if you can't get out and find a networking group just to, you know, to stop and listen. And these EQ series have been just fabulous for you to come in and bring these to us. And I hope that we've been able to, over three EQ series, and who knows, maybe we'll do more. You know, maybe we'll come up with a different slant someday, Dan. I'd love to have you back as we continue to make people better leaders through emotional intelligence and training and leadership. This has been great. Kind of let's summarize it. Let's bring it to a conclusion here.
Yeah. So if we look back over the topics that we've talked about, we have people, right, conducting themselves in a more professional way, right? They're not letting their emotions run the situation, but they're getting control of themselves. Empathy. They care about each other and share success. Huge. If you get everybody in the shop just doing that, just imagine how much that would move the needle. Accountability. Team members know what they need to accomplish and focus on getting it done. And then finally, we just talked about this, training. They accept the fact that change is coming. We've beaten that drum pretty hard. Encourage ongoing feedback and want to grow.
Fabulous. Thank you. Appreciate the summary here for part three, but in part one and two, and in order to round out the entire EQ series, remind us what we talked about.
Yeah, Carm, let's not forget, right? We've got self-awareness, being comfortable with who you are, getting to know yourself, self-development, growing, leaning into those things that you have opportunities to grow in, understand your deficiencies and building on your strengths, working on the relationships. Those folks that we interact with every day around us, both family, friends, and colleagues. We've got self-acknowledgement, understanding when we make mistakes, owning things, being okay with that, being okay with who you are and how you were made, how you're wired, your personality. And then finally, reflecting on things and taking those opportunities to learn from those things and reapply them in the future to put yourself in a better spot.
Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers Institute, on a beautiful three-part series as we conclude on emotional intelligence. And by the way, don't forget about the books. And, you know, Dan's available there probably to go out and do all kinds of training. So we thank you. And we together, Dan, we say, please don't discount the value and the power of having a strong and understanding emotional intelligence, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.